Hello, welcome to the Keith and the Girl Show. My name is Chemda.
And I'm Keith Malley.
And as you can hear, that doesn't sound like Keith Malley's voice. For those of you who have heard the show before, this is actually Andrea Allen, who is our associate producer.
I'm Keith Malley. Come
we'll
on, Chemda.
We'll get to you. That is how Keith says my name, though.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Chemda.
Keith, what happened to him was he can't get off the toilet today.
Oh, jeez.
So that's exciting news in Keith's world. Our guest is already cracking up at him. So we get to talk about him as we're him today and as he's not in the room. So Andrea will be playing Keith Malley. She also will be switching off between Keith and Andrea for those who want to, you know, let us know what percent you think she was Andrea and what percent you think she was Keith. Let us know on the forums, keithandthegirl.com/forums. Now, Keith, you have an album coming out pretty soon, June 20th.
I do. It is my 14th stand-up album.
14th? You must be out there all the time doing stand-up, getting ready for that.
Once a year, Chemda.
Once a year. My God.
You know?
That's disgusting.
All these stand-ups are giving me shit, but I do it once a year. We do a tang, and it's great. I'm very proud of this one. I couldn't have done it without you.
Oh, thank you so. That's so nice of you to say.
I feel like being nice today, you know?
Thank you for doing it.
There's
in my
something
direction.
Something about being in a female body that makes me feel like being accommodating.
Well, okay, so you have your album is coming out June 20th, but you could pre-order it now, keithandthegirl.com/album. And what we're doing is anybody who buys it in a pre-order needs to send the proof of purchase to album@keithandthegirl.com, and we will send you what?
I will send you access the video footage. For free.
For free.
For free.
Why would we be doing that?
Why am I shitting you? Come on. All right. I don't want to tell you what to do, but do it. Send the email. How easy is that? What are you doing? Are you online writing weird troll things? Come on.
That's keithandthegirl.com.
I'm giving it to you.
/album. Buy it now because then Keith will give you his video for free.
Yes.
He's so excited about it. Listen to him.
I am so excited.
We're going to welcome a new guest right now. First time on the Keith and the Girl Show. Mm-hmm. I've watched her on Shtick or Treat, now available on CISO. She's featured on the special without Brett Davis. Please help me welcome Maria Wojcicki.
Chemda.
I had it written here and then it got moved to somewhere else.
No, you're okay. I'll mess up your name too.
Could you please?
Chemda.
Perfect.
Nice.
Okay.
Everyone's even now.
Wojcicki, how are you doing?
I'm pretty great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I did see the taping of Shtick or Treat for CISO, and you played Paula Poundstone.
I did.
Basically, this is a show, Shtick or Treat, that comedians do other people, do an impersonation of other people, and have to write material in that other person's voice.
I think normally you don't have to write your own material,
That's
but because
true.
It was being filmed for network, they had, like, you don't have the rights to do other people's material.
Interesting.
So for this particular one, you have to write original material when it was being filmed.
Paula Poundstone has admittedly not been out and about recently in the comedy world.
Right.
She is one of like the sort of faint legends, can I call her that, right?
Relic?
A relic?
Yeah.
You think so? Well, maybe. I know you have extra information that we're going to get to in just a little bit.
I mean, look at those fucking overalls she's always wearing. Like, what is, I don't know.
Well, are you looking at her in the 80s?
A little bit, yeah. But I
mean,
bet
she still dresses similar now. Like, she'll wear, like, vests. She dresses very androgynously.
Yes.
Heavy vest wearer, for sure.
I would say, like, a Tig Notaro dressing kind of thing, but more vests.
80s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tig.
Sure. So, Paula Poundstone, I think you had it tough. What made you pick Paula Poundstone?
Oh, okay. So, Louisa had already...
is the booker.
Yeah, Louisa is the booker. And she had already cast most of the show, but she needed more female comedians. Mm-hmm. Like, not necessarily women up there, but, like, maybe men playing women, just people being a female comedian. Mm-hmm. And she had put on there, she was like, extra points if you do Paula Poundstone. And I was...
By points, she meant money, or...
extra points being, like, because you had to, like, audition, you had to send in a tape of you doing the impression.
Mm.
And I never really listened to Paula Poundstone or watched her or anything. So I just was, like, in my room, just rewatching this Paula Poundstone from like a late night set she did many, many years ago, and just kept repeating it and repeating it, and then filmed myself like as her and sent it in. And I became an alternate. I wasn't even supposed to be on the show. And I was on a road trip, and my boyfriend and I had to come back like a day early to film the show.
Why were you an alternate?
I think, I don't know. I just
didn't
make it.
Paula or because of you?
Probably because of me. I don't know. But
the actual Paula wanted to do the show.
Yeah, the actual Paula Pounce. Yeah, I wasn't put on there as like the original, like in the original people to go. But it was fun. I mean, I ended up making it onto the special. So
yeah.
Now, here's cool. The thing. I was at the taping and in the middle of your, you did such a good job. In the middle of your amazing job, the alarm started going off.
Yeah.
It was the fire alarm. And here's people's response. First of all, you did not get out of character for a second. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. Everyone's sort of like, nah, that'll go away. We're at a taping. Yeah. Let's just sit here. It'll pass. And then it wasn't passing. And you were still like on stage, like riffing, doing great. I felt so bad. But also I was like, killing it. She's killing it. Here it is.
It's so funny to think about that because people are like, wow, that was so great how you just stayed on stage in character and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but if it was a fire, we would have for sure. I would have died as Paula Poundstone.
You would have, that polyester vest would have lit up and like, melted you.
Oh, wow. This is really hot. As I'm dying.
Yeah.
So eventually, by the way, you can see me and Libby sitting up front for your set right there. It's my credit.
Yes.
I'm on CISO.
I do love the cutaways to the audience throughout other everybody. Oh, I guess you can't really see me that well, but everybody's just like these robot audience members laughing. It's so funny. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And now like because CISO was fairly new when we were taping it, it cuts to the audience and we're like, oh, I know him. Oh, I know him. It's like a bunch of comics.
All comedians. Yeah. Or like people adjacent to comedy that we all know. Yeah.
So watch it for Maria and for all of us. So what happened was then eventually, you know, the thing is not going away. The alarm's still going off. We start looking at each other. Libby and I are like, you know what? It would be nice to watch Maria finish her set. Mm-hmm. However, we could, like you said, be about to be lit on fire. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to walk out. And then I don't know. I don't think we were like the first ones or anything, but it did feel like the longer we sit here, the longer everyone else is going to sit here. And I think everyone started feeling that at the same time. Obviously, we went outside.
Yeah.
Bunch of firemen came.
Holy
like there
shit.
Was, yeah, it was like a big, stupid deal. And here's another problem is when you have a bunch of comedians in a room supporting each other, if you take a fire break, they're leaving.
Yeah.
So or they're smoking and wandering off. Or,
right.
Yeah.
Suddenly they realize they're high and they wander off to the wrong room.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then you have a taping to do. I think, did you start? I'm trying to remember. Did you start like where you were before?
No, they told me just to start over.
Wow.
So I came out and I asked them, I was like, should I riff on that? Like, what should I do? And they're like, well, we're going to be taping, so we don't know what we're going to be keeping in or if we're going to keep the fire alarm in or if we're gonna just pretend like it didn't happen.
Jeez. And were so, you shaking or any kind
I
of
I was
like-
just I was nervous because I had just driven 20 hours from Alabama.
Holy shit.
Because that's when I had taken a road trip to my hometown and we came back a day early for the taping. So we just like booked it. We were supposed to make stops and we were my boyfriend and I were doing like a little tour. He's a comic too. And so then we just like booked it back to New York and I was just like, this is my luck. Like, I'm going to have driven 20 hours to have my taping cut short because of some comic was smoking weed in the back room. And, but I went out. So I was like, this crowd is on fire. And that made it into the thing, but it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Although it does kind of make sense for her. Like, that is something that she would say.
Yeah.
That's like, so funny. That's a great riff for that.
That's our own Easter egg.
Uh-huh. It is. Right? Yeah, it's for the people who were there. You're like,
literal
I
fire.
I know what that means.
Inside information.
Okay, so you did your whole set.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel good?
Yeah, it was really great. I was very nervous before. All of us were so nervous because most of the people who were in that, except for like Mark Norman and like Matt Ruby, most of us were like newer or, you know, this was like our first taping. For me, it was
big
like
TV credit.
Yeah, it was my first TV credit. And so it's kind of one of those things where you're like, oh God, I hope I don't. And we didn't know, they didn't put all of them into the actual.
Oh, that's scary.
Oh, yeah. So you're fighting for your stage time kind of to
so
make it.
So there was like, I don't know how many of us, like 45 of us taped, but I think they only did like 20 or 25 on the
holy shit
thing. So it is one of those things where you're like, I want to get in. I want to do well.
Yeah,
like,
there's so many steps to getting the actual thing. Right. There's so many ways that you can like not fail, but not get the end result.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's just, you know, nerve wracking because it's out of a lot of our comfort zones playing another character.
Sure.
I mean, I did sketch for a long time, so technically it's in my comfort zone, but it still wasn't.
Yeah, because you had to study for a character. Yeah, I've never
done
it.
It was my first impression I'd ever done. So it was
very, congratulations. Yeah. You were amazing.
Thank you.
You were working that vest. You were leaning on the chair all dominantly like she does. She's very aggressive.
She is like all over her stool.
She really is.
Oh, speaking of which, you know, I don't really know Paula Poundstone that well. I do remember her as like a famous 80s comic, but for some reason she didn't get into my sphere of what I saw.
Yeah.
She was around the time of like Judy Gold and Marc Maron even, right? So, but Andrea listened to her, speaking of Marc Maron, her What the Fuck interview, WTF podcast, and she mentioned that she
molested a child or was accused. So she doesn't, if you listen to the episode, she doesn't flat out disclose it because I actually think she can't, or like there's some legal guards put up, but she settled with either the children's parents, but she used to adopt, like she's a lesbian. She would adopt like lots of kids, or foster, I think.
Foster. Yeah. She's doing a lot.
Yeah. So
that's what it sounds like.
I think so. Yes. And
I know she has three adopted kids.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think that she fostered because she was a lesbian.
No, but I mean like she didn't like want to.
Isn't she asexual?
Is she?
Oh, that's right.
So. Yeah. But there was some sort of like, she wasn't going to have kids with a man in her life. So that's what she wanted to do. But she had a sexual relationship with one of the older kids.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I think.
She doesn't, like, she, whenever he breaches the topic, she's like, yeah, I was drinking and some lot. Like, she kind of dances around the edge of it, but she settled with this person in court and kind of, like, made it disappear. Like, I never heard about this. Someone,
did he bring it up or did she bring it up? I mean, why would she bring it up?
He brought it up, but
she's like, by the way, I want to talk about this,
about this like
molestation.
Really, well, she someone had told me about this story. That's why I don't have like a great interest in Paula Poundstone, but someone was like, Paula Poundstone had like kind of a child molestation scandal. I was like, what?
How old was the kid?
I would think like a 17, 18 type situation. I think maybe, I can't remember all of it to the like detail, but I think they were younger, and as they got older, like something inappropriate happened.
I see.
Someone told me that, and I was like, that's crazy. I was like, that's crazy that Paula Poundstone was a female comedian being successful in the time that she was, plus she had a scandal with a child and still managed to like have a career. Like that's
a woman who can really act like a man.
That's insane. Yes. I was like, that's insane that happened. So I had to listen to the interview to like hear more about it. And
maybe the trick is to be asexual.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There, I'm putting that out there.
But
everybody.
I mean, clearly she's not asexual, I guess. Then if, you know.
Yeah, maybe it was trying to be romantic. She doesn't talk about it really openly.
I did look into it when I was, because I did like study her a lot, and that came up when I was researching her last year.
It's very like under the table.
Yeah.
Did you consider putting it into?
No, because, so I'm glad I didn't, because there were some people whose the comedians had like really sketchy pasts. Bill Cosby is a good example.
Sure, sure.
And so then they were introed like, they were being introed like, oh, this next guy's a predator. And then the audience immediately, like, you guys were there, like, immediately were like,
hated
I don't want to
of.
Laugh at this person, even though it's not that person.
Yeah.
And so I like, specifically asked, I was like, please don't bring up the... I was like a Paula Poundstone apologist. So I'm like, I'd want to be successful.
Did they even know about it enough to bring it up?
They did. Yeah, because Mark Norman's actually a huge Paula Poundstone fan.
Oh, really?
Really? Mm-hmm.
Did he comment to you? Were you nervous because there was a...
I told him because he intro'd me. So before he intro'd me, I was like, please don't bring that up. He was like, okay, I won't. And he just like intro'd it normally. Mm-hmm. And then after the fire alarm...
Oh, so you got to believe that he wanted to.
Of course. Because they had intro'd somebody else similarly. And so I heard that. And so I was like, hey, don't do that to me. And he was like, okay. And then, but then Matt Ruby intro'd me after the fire alarm and then said that. And I was like, no.
I got this far.
I feel like the people were on your side, though, because we were like, fuck what you have to go through right
now. At that point, everybody was like, that's fine. That's
yeah. okay. Yeah, we're going to let this one slide. Yeah.
We forgive you, Paula. Uh-huh. And that's how her whole thing goes away.
Yeah. I mean, it did go away, but she also, on the Marc Maron interview, she talks about that she was drinking before that and got sober after the incident. So yeah. I think that, like, it's not a cut and dry. I think there was a lot of layers to is whatever it, happened there. I don't yeah, I know think they anyone
took
really
away,
knows.
They took away her kids.
Yeah.
And because she got a DUI and I think her kids were in the car.
Yeah.
Fuck. I think is what the situation was.
Yeah, Paula's
so complex. She had to, so she had like go to rehab. She quit drinking totally and then she got her kids back. So I think like.
I feel like, okay, so
the
maybe.
The situation has maybe.
Maybe I'm too empathetic. Yeah. Andrea says that she tased me from now uh-huh. on. But I feel like with all of that information afterwards, it's like, okay. Not, I'm getting,
right.
You did your time sort yeah. of thing. Yeah. I know she didn't go to jail, but it sounds like.
She paid financially to this person too. She settled.
Which is also very weird. Like, yeah. I'd prefer that. But for like, okay, I'm going to say a really weird thing, but. A 17, 18-year-old, I would hate to go to jail for that. Do you know what I mean? It's yeah. like, oh.
But I'm also, when that happens, I'm like, but when that happens too, I'm also like, okay, can you like not wait 6 months? Like what is so important to you that you can't wait?
Mm-hmm. True. And also, see, to me, it's more the dynamic of this is your foster kid. And uh-huh. so even if they were like 20, it's a misread for, you know, an adult and mm-hmm. and a person caring for them. That's, you know, for example, for teachers, like I think a teacher or a professor in a college where everybody is of age might want to abstain because it'll get in the way sort of thing.
Right.
So I think the relationship between the person in some cases counts more than
my dad the age. Was my mom's college professor.
Scandalous.
And they're still married, so.
Wow.
Oh, that couple that like.
I just said they shouldn't do that. Uh-huh. Your parents are assholes.
Parents. Uh-huh. No, that couple, remember the woman, what was her name? I keep thinking of somebody else and I don't think, Mary Kay Letourneau, is that a person?
I can look it up. Go ahead.
But who are you thinking?
She had sex with her like 14 or 15 year old student, had to go to jail for like 2 years. They stayed together the whole time.
Wow.
She came out like once he was 18, they got married.
They are they still together?
They just divorced.
Wow.
But I think they were married for like
yeah
15 years or something.
Here's the thing. 15 years to me is a successful marriage.
I know, right? They're like, doing better than I've done in any relationship.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do think that. I do think 14 is very young. And I would say that if you were dating like another 14-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I know people mm-hmm. whose parents like were high school sweethearts and things mm-hmm. like that. And it worked out. I think that's very rare. And it's also like... Don't you think it's such a young age to make such a big commitment? It's like starting a company at 14. We've seen people do it, but
how do you not know what else that you might like out there? Is what I wonder.
I don't know. I don't know if that's like my whole point of it because you know what else is out there? Disappointment. It's you know what I mean? It's like, what are you going to find?
100% true.
Yeah. Right? Like, oh, you're really missing out on all these Tinder affectionate loving moments.
No, Hemna.
Yeah, I think if you find love, you find love. Good on you. You found it at 14. I don't know. You might have like dodged some other disgusting bullet.
Sure.
Do you? I don't know.
I do think though you do get it like an arrested development if you... You're never able to grow on your own.
Yes, but I have seen relationships where they help each other grow because they know each other from such a young age, but it takes such a special.
Very, very special.
Yeah. I don't want to. I'm glad. See, the thing is it's not like I had like the best dick and I can compare it, but I can compare like, oh, I'm not missing out on any dick. Like
right.
I'm not missing out on any kind of sex, not missing out on any kind of mm-hmm. anything because I compared. And you know
notes.
What?
We're good.
Yeah
totally.
We're good, ladies.
Yeah.
Okay, since I saw Andrea last, mm-hmm. this is an incredible segue of me just wanting to show off. So I wrote it down so mm-hmm. I make sure that I tell everyone. I've ridden over 50 miles on my bike.
Holy wow. shit. Mm-hmm.
Did you see, Maria, my beautiful bike as
I
you
did.
Came in?
Yes.
It's nice. Very noticeable. It's gorgeous. I'm going to put a picture up on it. Mm-hmm. I've been biking because the weather has gotten better. Yeah. I haven't used my MetroCard. I haven't ridden the train in a while. Like, I'm riding over bridges, things like that. I feel like I will get pulled over for some kind of, like, riding while high or something mm-hmm. because what happens when I go up a bridge, I go like from side to side so I don't have to go straight up.
Uh-huh.
And I keep looking behind me, not only for another biker who could pass me, and they do.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, do they? Because I have like a heavy cruiser and I'm so out of shape. I'm just like, oh, there's another biker just cruising up a bridge.
Huge, yeah.
Cruising up a bridge.
I know.
And then there's those ones, and my husband has one too. He has one with and without. There's ones where they have a motor, and I'm like, I hear your motor, and you're cheating.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I get that you're passing me, but this is fucked. But anyway, I keep looking behind me in case someone needs to pass, but also I look behind me. I just feel like that's the way I'm going to get arrested again. Like, someone's going to pull me over, and I'm going to happen to be high. Yes,
oh,
I will.
Oh, they think you're swerving because you're on drugs.
Can you prove that someone's high?
No, but I...
But you'll be carrying
Yeah. with you. But I will have a bong. I will have a row of bongs in my front bike thingy.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm riding around everywhere. And on Saturday, I parked my bike. When I came back, it was parked right in front of a giant fight that just started. Mm. And I was like, do I videotape this? Do I unlock my bike and just leave?
Yeah.
And I was so disgusted with myself because my first thought was, do I videotape this? And I took out my camera, and then I look around and I'm like, a lot of people are taping.
Right.
We all saw World Star. Mm-hmm. We don't need to go this way. And I'm just like, yeah, me taping it would just be me like continuing the shitness. But then I'm like, all right, this will end in a minute. You guys have seen fights before, right?
Yeah.
They always turn into like almost fights.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and these people already squared off. Like, they're already, you know, fists up. They're in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like sort of surrounding them. Some people are trying to stop them, but they are starting to punch.
And two men?
Like, two men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of equal strength, it seemed. Mm-hmm. Like, of equal anger, which was really scary.
That's even worse.
Really scary, because one of them was yelling something like, that was my son. He can't do that to my son. I'm like, oh, this is never going to end.
Oh, yeah, it's family. Yeah. It's like, the auntie is upped for sure. Yeah.
And you look across, and it doesn't matter how old that son is. He's already, mm-hmm. like, being affected, and this guy is protecting the son, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So now they're trying to punch each other, but they're missing. The guy looks around, and then I start looking around, and I'm like, oh, my God. One of them, and I don't know who, overturned this guy's table. You ever see, I don't know, those of you outside
it's
of
like
New York?
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like street vendors where they just put a folding table.
Oh, yes. God, shut up.
Yes, yes.
Whoa.
So this folding table was full of like, you know, DVDs for $2. Yeah.
Weird shitty books that no one knows
exactly.
Exist. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all, you know, it's always like for $2 each. And they're always sitting like through the night at 2 a.m. You could still see them.
Uh-huh.
And so all of this kind of shit, it was also like headphones, like, you know, non-branded headphones,
shit
like that in packages. So now headphones are everywhere. DVDs are everywhere.
Headphones, baby.
There's a boombox, right? You ever saw those little ones that have like a CD thing on top?
Of course,
yeah.
I'll find it and I'll put it up so that people could see like how big and how heavy it is. It's not big, but the guy found it on the floor. It's obviously one of the things that he overturned the table with. It's obviously not his, and he's the one who overturned it. And again, this is right in front of my bike. He picks up the tiny little boombox, but it is significant. It's like
a kettlebell almost. In its size.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. It might not be that heavy because a kettlebell is, you know? So it is like a size of a big one.
Yeah.
You know? So, and he's like going to throw it. And I'm like, no one throws radios at each other. Like, no, but me.
What is you saying 90s? That?
Yeah. I'm like,
excuse me, sir. No one throws radios.
Yes. But here's the thing. These guys throw radios.
Shut up. Yes.
And I'm like, he's going to throw it like on the side of the road. No.
He like chucked
it. He threw it directly at the person. And like with all this force, the person like stepped aside. It got right on my bike.
Oh,
like just straight up to the front. And I'm just like, bah. And you hear me like there's videotape. And I wonder if I'm on anybody's tape.
Oh my God.
You're on World Star, Hemda, for sure.
I was a little away from, I don't want to get too close to the action, even though my bike was there, but I was in front of my bike and the thing landed there. And if you see me on this tape, I am the most pathetic side person ever. This is me on the side. I just go, come on, God. Can't we all be friends? I'm trying to shut the fuck up because I believe it's not my neighborhood, so I should shut up. Like, clearly this is everybody else's neighborhood. Like, yeah. I do think, like, if
you find out they live in Williamsburg.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like this isn't my fight. That's for sure. It's not anybody's fight, but they're trying to break it up. But I was like, I'm a woman, so if I jump in the middle, will they like care that they're about to hit? And then shut the fuck up, Hemda.
I've done that.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. I drunkenly tried to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. I tried to break up a fight between two rugby players in Canada.
Oh, no.
I know. I was going out with like the Canadian rugby team because I had a lot of friends on the team. And there were two other rugby players.
She played rugby also.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So I love all the drinking and crazy camaraderie. Rugby players are animals. I know that.
By the way, she is describing herself.
Yeah. Like, this fully fit in this group.
Yes. This is not crazy. Like, oh, I know some tough guys. She is one of the tough guys.
Perfect.
She could probably play on the boys' team. This is why she's playing Keith's character today.
Right?
But no, she is... did you lose a tooth or two black eyes?
I had two black eyes, but I also had, I got punched in the face and my tooth died because of the impact.
Okay, her tooth died. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's fucking gross.
Do you have a new one?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I have fake teeth now because of that.
I kind
of
want fake teeth so I can get like bigger, more beautiful.
Oh, they're the best. But these rugby players
that you fit in with. Uh-huh.
Yeah. My co-animals were all acting like animals and... that was my thought. I was so drunk that I was like, if there's a woman in the middle of them, they'll stop because they are animals, but they don't like to hit women, you know? So
I'm so glad you had this thought.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because in my thought, see, I'm trying very hard not to get in the middle of people's shit.
Right.
Like I could save the day. I'm so thought out and thoughtful. Uh-huh. Like, shut the fuck up. Just go fucking sit down and like take your bike and go to the next thing. Mm-hmm. Your friend is going to have dinner with you tonight. Now you're going to be late because like, maybe you can help. Anyway.
I like that. I like this new attitude you have, Hamda.
Thank you.
As Andrea and as Keith, we both co-sign this new sit down, Hamda. So yeah, I stood in between them and it did stop them, but they stopped like hitting each other, but they were trying to get each other around me. And I kind of got like boxed into them jabbing like through me. And then I had a moment where I was like, oh God, I should not be here. And all my friends were like, what are you doing? You fucking idiot. And then I like came out of it. And then I also broke my shoe on the way out because I was wearing heels like shuffling so aggressively that like one of the heels broke off. And then
when we picture Andrea when she's on the show and talks about rugby and like punching people and like getting in the middle of shit, I I'm with you like so often now. And I picture like, you know, you're at a bar, you're maybe wearing jeans or whatever. No, she's usually wearing a crop top and fucking killer heels.
Uh-huh.
And then she's like, let me get in the middle of this.
I'm very large in those heels. Very intimidating.
You are, because you're almost 6 feet on your own, mm-hmm. and now you're wearing heels.
I know.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you like can just be pushed over and like...
I know. You realize how physically weaker you are than a national rugby player. Like the balls for me to think like, I'm just going to step... It's the same thing though.
You get it,
let's
right?
Let's just end it.
I have never been like that.
Good for you. What a life.
I liked how we turned to Maria and go, Maria, right? And she's like, you people are crazy.
I cannot empathize with that. I really have.
Fine.
I've always been so embarrassed of fights and like, oh.
You want it to stop.
I just am like, I got to get out of here. Like, I'm always, and I'm just so paranoid someone's going to pull out a gun at any minute. Like, that's just a big, I'm very catastrophic in my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like my first thought is like, if there's people scuffling, no matter who it is, it could be two soccer moms. I'm like, one of these moms is packing. I got to get out of here.
That's smart. And you're from Alabama. Is that a thing?
And honestly, it is a thing. Like, it's not common, but my cousin has pulled guns out on people at bars. Like, it does happen.
God. Is there an open...
I don't know. I've never touched a gun before, so I don't know the laws. But I'm pretty sure you're allowed to carry there.
Okay.
But you can't... Like, it's not open carry, but it's conceal and carry, I think.
That now, scares me more.
Yeah.
You're like, hiding it?
But your cousin who pulled out this gun is...
who
this-
I love. He's the best. Mm-hmm. He's like the... Like, he's like... He's one of the most, like... He's the sweetest, most empathetic person. He was just very, very drunk, and he's a little bit of a redneck. And I'd say these things to his face. He's great.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, is like, you can't control when everybody has a gun and they're drunk. Uh-huh. I didn't even think of that, like, where bars would have to check people's guns at the door, but there's no way that's happening, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it was illegal for him to bring it into the establishment, and then also obviously illegal to pull it out on somebody. So he did have to like go to court.
Is it heavily gun culture in Alabama?
Yeah, it is. I mean, my family has never been gun owners, but I had a friend Yeah, like a lot of my friends carry guns or have guns.
Your family didn't. They are conservative.
Yeah.
I was listening to stand up. They voted for Trump.
Yes.
And they do. They are big Second Amendment people, or
They like care about it only because it's like within the Republican Party umbrella. Mm-hmm. But none of them carry guns. Like my brother will go hunting with people, but I think hunting's a different beast. Versus like wanting guns.
Like pulling a gun out on a human is different.
I think
there's a level.
I think like wanting a gun in your house versus like wanting to go to a hunting camp is totally different. I don't know, Second Amendment things. But
I have Canadian relatives that are hunters too, and they're not like these. I wouldn't put them in that category of gun crazy. However, they do own a lot of guns, but they're in the woods.
I always want to fight back on that. Well, it's like, but you're like the predator for prey that's like way too easy. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I ate meat this morning. Shut
exactly.
the fuck up.
Like I would have much rather. Yeah, exactly. Cause I mean, I do eat meat. I don't eat it as much anymore, but I'm like, oh, I would, it's much more like kinder to animals for me to eat like venison that has been living in a beautiful woods their whole life than like this nasty chicken that I don't know where I got it from.
That's actually very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. Oh, wait, to continue this story, by the way.
Yeah.
So I am in the video. I hope I'm not.
Oh, you are in a video?
I don't know. I hope I'm not because I really did at some point yell out things like, just stop. Oh, my God, no.
Because I was just. You became the star of that video.
No, I really.
Clutching my pearls. Please.
Oh, the humanity. Right? I didn't say that.
All but that.
Yeah. And then there was more because what happened was, again, all of this stuff was everywhere. and like once people stopped, like, you know, being so interested in like this squaring off, because, you know, he did throw a radio. That was a little exciting. But then, you know, for a while, they just kind of like, I'm gonna, you know, whatever. So then people start looking around. And when you look on the ground, there's DVDs.
Uh-huh.
There's headphones that are in their packages still. Mm-hmm. So now I'm watching people like
steal.
Pick it up. Uh-huh. And then I'm like, oh, let me just gather this up for someone because I have to help in some way.
Right.
Meanwhile, I almost got like a radio thrown at my head. But no, this is important.
Sure.
Asshole.
These people deserve your help.
Sure. Yeah. I don't even know if both of them are wrong in every single fucking way in the world. But let me help this guy out who's obviously like very on the up and up selling DVDs for $2 on the street. Sure. So...
So entrepreneur.
Yes, that's right.
Don't say that to her. She does not need this man justified any further.
I think it would take all of my strength to not steal a bunch of headphones, though, because I lose those things so much.
When you said headphones, I was like, shit.
It would take a lot. I would be able to put like the DVDs, that's fine, but the headphones, I'm stuffing them in my bags.
So that's what was happening. I was like putting them together, and this is the thing. You saw all of humanity. You saw people videotaping. You saw people trying to stop it. You saw people trying to be gentle with everybody. You saw people aggressively stopped it. Like everything that you could think of was happening.
Yeah.
Including some people helping me, like, you know, and I'm helping them gather the thing. There wasn't that much left. Mm-hmm. And then I saw these two, what must have been like teenage-ish, you know, like maybe 16, 17 year olds. And so one of them went for the headphones, picked it up, and I go, come on, that's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's fair. But like also mind your business, and that's as far as you're gonna go,
I'm
like, con, that's not yours. And her friend went to pick up the other one, and she heard me say that, looked up at me, hesitated.
Then you're just, like the street mother here.
Sure. What an asshole I am. Yeah. And she looked up, she hesitated, she looked down, picked it up and left.
Honestly, fair. She acknowledged your protest and said, I don't give a fuck.
But now she, every time she listens to like Rihanna or something, she's like, I shouldn't even be doing this.
Yeah, but I can't tell if I should just have shut the fuck up because.
No, I think what you did was fine.
You think that was okay?
Yeah. I think it's a fair middle ground. Obviously I try to break up fights, but I'm so nervous and I wanted to end because I'm like so worried about what if something actually seriously like happened. Someone slammed someone's head.
There was a point where one of the guys picked up a cone, not the little cone, the cone that like is
the
almost
heavy
that,
ones
the yes. really heavy ones that are up to your waist. Mm-hmm. And these guys were so strong, and I think it was because partially they're just strong and partially like they were so mad and they stayed in that place. The guy picked it up and was swinging on the other guy.
He's like Street Fighter.
Yes. These are people who like watch too much WWE or something.
They're like doing parkour and like
I wish it was like this exciting. It wasn't. I was just like, please stop, please stop. So he's swinging it. The other guy is so strong. He's just swatting it.
Oh my God.
Swatting it. And nobody's losing control of it. He's just like as if it's a bat. And
it's
these
like
things,
jousting.
They're so bottom heavy.
That's
these
so
things.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that whole thing is going on. And then I realized, wait a minute, it's not so close to the action that I can't undo this chain on my bike and just leave. And
right.
then I start doing that. And I'm like, I can't tell like if I'm so, I think that I'm such a superhero that I waited and part of it was Kira. And part of it, I'm just like, I can't stand watching people fight. And I'm so floored with myself that I actually still want to see what happens. Not even from a nice point of view.
Oh, for sure. It's a car crash situation. You can't look away. Even if you're wanting, even if you're late for something, you're still like, what's happening over here?
Oh yeah, I'm a sicko like this. I used to, like, my boss at one of my older jobs, we would take the train up to the garment district back and forth, and the one train in the middle of the day, just like some weird shit's always going down there. Midtown's fucking crazy. Everyone around fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And there would always be some sort of fight or someone just like pissing or like smoking
literally
cigarettes on the train.
Uh-huh.
And my boss hates, like, she like wants it to stop and doesn't like to get near it. But I love it. So she'd be like, okay, this year for your birthday, you get 5 train incidences and I'll let you sit near it and just watch it. And she's like, I won't make you move, because she'd make me move. She'd be so uncomfortable. And I'm like, you know, I'm like Keith. You know, like,
that's
I love
what you got for your birthday. You should
I know.
Sit and think about that.
I know. She's like, you get to be an asshole 5 times, and she's scared. She's like scared something's gonna happen. I'm like, no, let me stay closer. It's fine. We're still in good range. I can still film it like weirdly from the side of my bag.
Did you do that?
Oh yeah. Oh, I have so many videos. Oh my God.
My friend and I, we got on a train in Midtown. We got onto like a 6 train. And it was really late at night, and we got on, and my friend immediately grabbed my arm and pulled me off. And I was like, what are you doing?
This isn't our stop.
There was nobody there. Like, it was like a perfectly empty train.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, that man has a knife. And we looked over. There was a man sleeping, and he had a giant butcher knife in his jeans. And she just pulled me off of the train. And we went to another car, and we were both so freaked out. We didn't tell anybody else on the train, like, hey guys, there's a man with a giant knife here. Like, we just went to another train.
Well, because you see so much crazy that you're like, all right, there's that crazy, you know.
Yeah, it desensitizes you. We really were just like, oh, well, we'll go to a different train, I guess.
Well, the thing is to me, that man is more dangerous to himself, because if you have a giant knife that everybody can see and you're sleeping, who sleeps on the train?
You know what, though? I bet you he has the knife out so that it's like, don't fuck with me. Don't steal my shit. I'm crazy.
Maybe.
That's what I would do.
Somebody, we saw.
Well, then I'm going with that.
Sure. Listen, there's an apocalypse
somebody,
in New York.
Somebody grabbed some cops. And so the cops like went and got him. And I don't know. I mean, it seemed like everything was fine. But the train was like very delayed because they had to deal with this man who had a knife in his pants.
Okay. See, then I would be mad at you for no reason. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Maria. I'm so sorry. But I would be so mad at you.
I'd be like, let him fucking sleep with the knife. We're fine. I got somewhere to be.
No, I didn't tell him. Someone else did. I was being very selfish. Well, it was my friend who was very selfish, but we were laughing because these like Swedish or like some European guys like saw her freak out and grab me, and so they followed us to the other car.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "What happened? What was going on?" And we're like, "Oh, we had a knife." They're like, "Why didn't you tell anybody else?" And we're like, "This isn't Europe,
you're
bitch.
Like, this is America.
Welcome to America, bitch."
But that's the problem. So I never know when to jump in and when to not. And this really does segue into my next thing: fighting with my mom.
Oh my God,
Kanda. Oh my God. So my mom and I have not spoken. Both my parents, but I only say mom because she's the only one who engages. Like, my father, I truly believe, was just like, I'm done. And so, and I respect it. Okay. But my brother Michael and his wife Maricela just had a baby Max. Congratulations. May 31st. And so when the grandkids arrive, my parents fly over from Israel and they visit. Now, last time a grandkid was born, shout out to River, cute as fuck. They flew out to San Francisco where my brother and his wife are. And I was in the middle of getting a tumor removed from my chest. So, and after that, they went on vacation. So we're not in good... when they went to see the Grand Canyon, yeah, they went to Vegas. No. Yeah. So, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? We're not talking. And as much as like during that time, I was like, I wish I had a mommy. I had my in-laws. I had a lot of friends. I had like, you know, Libby, Andrea, my husband. There's too many people, Xerxes. Mm-hmm. I couldn't feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, so of course I can list on and on. I don't even know why I started. I hate when I do that because mm-hmm. I'm like, I missed
I have so many people.
No, but I'm thinking like, I missed so many people. I didn't say Emily.
And Amanda.
You're a good person.
What about me? I was still around. I was alive.
She's right here, Hamda. You're so fucking rude.
You guys get me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get you.
Yeah, so then I'm just like, okay, I haven't spoken to my mom, but now she's, every time she's in town, which is like once every grandkid, and we're mm-hmm. up to three now, she starts calling me, right? So maybe not every time, who knows? But now she's calling me because she's like, hey, I'm in town, whatever.
Has she called before? Is this a new development?
And by in town, do you mean New York or just the United States?
New York.
Okay.
In probably like within a mile or two from where I live, because oh. this brother doesn't live in San Francisco. This brother lives 2 miles from
me. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so they're here. And so I kind of knew she would try to call. So she's calling, and the thing is I understand why she's calling. This is an opportunity, but every time the phone rings and it's her, I start getting a certain way. So yeah. I'm like, do I get in touch? Do I pick up the phone so they stop calling? Do I get in touch? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, no, just ignore it. And everyone's so proud of me for ignoring my mom, mm-hmm. you know? And then I go, I can't deal with this anymore. And I wrote her an email. Would you like to hear?
Yes. Sure.
Okay. Mom. Now, my mother is a foreigner, mm-hmm. but she does have her citizenship, but English is her second language. However, we lived here for 30-something years. Okay. Mom, I get that you're in the country right now and that you think that we should meet because you're here, but I think you're pretending like nothing happened and that's infuriating. You flew out to see all three grandkids when they were born. You celebrated with them and helped them out. I had a wedding, a tumor. I was on the cover of a newspaper amongst other things, and you didn't even bother to acknowledge me because you pretend to not know me when you don't like what I do. If you want to talk, which I do not, because you never let me talk about anything real in my life, you will have to acknowledge why you stopped communicating with me after I asked you to respect me. I am 41 years old. Now, I got to say, saying that you're 41 years old is the most five-year-old thing that you could say. And I always feel stupid.
You're like, I'm 41 and 3/4.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm an adult and respect me.
Yeah, I'm an adult and that's why I'm emailing you mommy.
And that's why I'm telling you how old I am.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. Like, in case it's not obvious, mm-hmm. I am not wearing diapers.
I'm married now, so yeah. I'm an adult and you have to listen to it.
I have to listen to my husband, not you. So I'm 41 years old. Stop bullshitting with me, which I've never, like, I never Ooh, swear at my parents.
Yeah. Big guns. Mm-hmm.
Stop bullshitting with me. I don't live like that, and I don't bother you for living the way that you do. You want to talk to me, say something real. Now, then I wrote...
Oh, shit!
Right? Are they, like, very religious? Is this what they're this very, is about?
Or? They're very traditional. So okay. religion plays a part because that, like, always plays a part of tradition, but yeah. they're more like, your role is to marry this kind of person who's this religion.
Oh, I see.
And stop speaking openly in public. Like, they don't even know what I do, but they'd be mortified.
Right,
like,
right, right.
And what I wanted to write at the end was, I dare you.
And then,
I was like... You're such an idiot. And then you just hit the delete button. So I ended it with say something real.
Ooh.
Now, I will tell you that she did respond, but I'm going to read that on tomorrow's
Ooh.
Show.
Cliffhanger.
Right? And so I sent that out feeling like so proud of myself. And I will say on the return, I don't know if I should say like one piece of like the Ooh, return.
Say, say,
should
say,
I?
Say, okay. Yes. Say, say.
One of the sentences, she did write me back fairly quickly. I did CC my brothers on this, mm-hmm. but... like, she didn't respond to everybody. I CC'd my brother and my husband. She didn't hit reply all. And Hennessy, my husband, was like, maybe she doesn't know reply all. And I'm like, you know what? That's just willful ignorance at this point. Uh-huh. Get to know the goddamn internet. Shut
yeah,
the fuck up.
Don't pretend you don't know reply all, yeah. Mrs. Khalili.
Exactly. I'm like mad at no at nothing. Like, mm-hmm. now I'm just getting mad at, like, you should know how to hit reply all. This yeah. is 2017 and I'm 41 years old.
And you know it, but you didn't do it because you didn't want to get in trouble.
Right, right, right. But then hitting reply all is such not a big deal. I just mm-hmm. forward it to my brothers. But anyway, one of the lines was, have a nice life. Now, that's just one of them. And my mother's a foreigner. So she could really mean, I hope you have a nice life.
Right,
you
know right, right. I mean? It could be like, a very literal.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think my mother's sitting there going, I hope she has a nice life. I love you.
I won't be there.
Yeah. Have a nice life, but I don't think you're doing the right thing. But I love you. You're my only daughter.
God, it creeps me out so hard when you do that accent. It's so good.
It is so good.
Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
It sounds like Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has a Hebrew accent.
I think she has like an Israeli sounding accent.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I gotta watch this show. Mm-hmm. Oh my God,
your people are in the down.
Or I could just like not know accents at all, but it sounded like that to
me. The South, you know.
Yeah, I just, yes. You know, it just sounded like somewhere
a little sandish.
Somewhere that's not Europe.
Well, you don't have like the greatest relationship with your family, right?
No, okay, but my mom, like, she texted me recently. Leave me alone and let me be happy.
Whoa. So have a nice life.
Yeah. That was a very have a nice life moment with my mom. It's a very complex situation. We can't seem to quit each other as a family, even though it's very dysfunctional. So I do like understand that push and pull of just like, you're my mommy. And then it's like, oh, yeah. But it's so toxic and I become a crazy person and it's not healthy for me. And yeah.
What was that specific response to?
It was
to?
A fight over. And so my mom is not, mom is very smart, but mm-hmm. she does not use her intelligence. And she.
That breaks my heart. Yeah. Because I know my mother is very smart, but she almost like, you know, unfortunately, I think it's the female role that she's playing.
Same
like
here.
The old female role, because mm-hmm. I see her and I'm like, you are running shit and
pretending that you're not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when things don't work out, you pretend like you're dumb or like,
sure.
or,
yes.
yeah. And so I'm like, I know you're not dumb, but I know that you need to pretend like you're dumb right now so that you don't, you know,
feel bad or
step on
yeah.
the masculine fragility.
Yeah.
There that is go. What you're projecting. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. My mom just like, I don't know what it is. She'll just play like ditzy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, but anyway, so like it was when the House of Representatives were voting on the healthcare bill that they were just like pushing forward. And I was very nervous because I have bipolar disorder and I have like a few other things I have to go see the doctor for like every month. Mm-hmm. And I don't make a lot of money. And so I am on Obamacare. And that's like what has saved me. And it's what has really kept me from, like, not to be dramatic, but, you know, perhaps killing myself or hurting myself.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Yes, and because if you don't have your meds with bipolar, then
I will lose my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you had an episode?
Not a bad one since I've been on medication.
Okay.
But before that, I was suicidal. I like had manic episodes. I was seeing things like mm-hmm. it was not good. And
what were your manic episodes like?
I mean, for the most part, they weren't bad. Like they weren't like how some people will, you know, get naked and run into the street. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything like that. It was just more of like not sleeping. And then I would start hallucinating. So I would like hear voices.
That sounds great. You know, so bad.
You know, normal things. Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't like.
Well, so you're saying the hallucination didn't come from the bipolar disorder. It was the effect of not sleeping because of the.
It's hard to tell because it happened so quickly that. There is psychosis that happens with bipolar, and a lot of it also happened. I had psychosis with depression too, so it's hard to tell. There is a fine line between
what were you seeing?
I was hearing a lot of things, so it was like hearing people call my name all the time. I was dating a guy, and this is when I was depressed. I was dating a guy, and I was having a full conversation with him. I was hearing him telling me I was stupid.
Wait, while he wasn't like, were you hearing?
He was there, uh-huh. but he wasn't
saying
that. Mm-hmm. And the next day,
I'm sorry. You guys were talking?
We were talking. We were having a conversation.
And you were hearing an extra him?
I was hearing the words coming out of his mouth, not the actual words he was saying.
Now, like ventriloquism?
Yeah. Did it look like a bad movie?
It just looked like he was saying those words. Like it felt like what he was saying in my brain was what was happening.
And then when you responded, was he like,
he thought I was drunk. Like the next day I was like, why did you say that? And he was like, oh my God, you were so funny. You were so drunk. You were just like making things up. Like I was like, I think it's hard. It took so long to get diagnosed because everyone was like, you're just so cute. You're weird.
You're so kooky.
You're so weird, Maria. Like that's what I always got.
No one likes a problem like Maria.
But yeah, he was like,
what were you thinking?
I wasn't drunk at all. I had maybe a half a beer. And so I was like, I panicked. I was like, oh my God, that didn't happen. So I like called my therapist and we like sorted it out. This was right when I was like, my therapist had been trying to diagnose me for a long time, like since I had started seeing her. And then she was like, okay, we need to get you in for an evaluation. Like, this is.
What were you being diagnosed with before bipolar?
Nothing. I was just going to therapy because of just and life.
What were you thinking your manic episodes were?
Well, okay, so my mom, but like, obviously, health issues are very genetic. Mm-hmm. And so my mom has dealt with like family members with issues. I'm sure 100% positive she's got something going on that she's not treating. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, she always would diagnose my sister and me with stuff as a way to be like, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. You have bipolar, or you have OCD, or you have anxiety. Like, it was never like, oh, you need help. Like, let's go do a doctor.
Sure, shaming.
It was always just like, you're crazy and everything you say is stupid because you have this going on. Mm-hmm. So
were you convinced that you had something and you just hadn't diagnosed it yet?
I like wasn't sure. By the time I went to therapy, I just thought I had like depression because I was just so sad. I had gone through a breakup with this guy that I hated. He dumped me and I, for some reason, like could not get over it.
Isn't that the worst?
You're like, I don't even like you.
Yeah, I was just like with him because I was so sad.
Fucked up, yeah.
And then I couldn't get over it. I was like crying myself to sleep every night. Like, he was the one. I'm like, no, I hate him.
Like, look at his Facebook statuses. Yeah. He's insane.
He's not like he and it's so funny. Like, I like really did hate him even when I was dating him. And I was like, wow. And then it was the moment where I like cognitively was like, I hate this guy. Why am I sad about him? I never liked him. I don't think he's hot. I don't think he's funny. I don't think he's nice. Like, what is this? So that's when I started seeing a therapist, and like immediately she was just like, so do you think you have like episodes? And I knew from my mom always like diagnosing me that's what she was trying to do. I was like, no, I don't have bipolar. Like, that's not it.
Was that your response? Because as a therapist, she was like, is that what you just said?
Yeah.
No. Do you have? Sure, no. I don't have bipolar. Yeah. That wasn't the question.
She's like, okay. No, but yeah, she was kind of like kind. She was like, okay, you know, because therapists can't jump. Their job isn't, if it's just a therapist, not a psychiatrist, their job isn't to diagnose you immediately. It's to like help you, guide you. They don't give you medicine. They're just like working shit out with you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so
what did you, because I would think that the alcohol hit me weird and I blacked out, or I just was.
Well, that wasn't the first time. That whole week had been a bunch of instances of me hearing people saying bad things about me. And
what were you thinking it is?
That was when I knew I was losing my mind. Like, I just knew something was happening.
Sure. When you start hearing things that are happening, I feel like that's like, okay.
And actually worked out. This is like silly, but so the band Passion Pit had just come out with a new album. Mm-hmm. And that was right after like he had come forward about his bipolar disorder. And I was like obsessed with that album. Mm-hmm. And that actually really helped me. Like, I know it's so silly because it's just how I like this music.
Shout out to Passion Pit.
Passion Pit. Hello. No, it's so funny. Me feel it's a like, little more like, okay, it's okay.
That's
it's
so funny because music is exactly like that is what music is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you feel.
I think being a comedian, it feels so lame to be earnest about anything. So
sure.
I'm like, yeah, ironically, it helped me. It's like wasn't real. I just like ironically felt inspired by them.
I don't care about anything really. I'm so funny and cool.
But that did. And also like, so then like when I like looked that up, and then Stephen Fry also has it, and Carrie Fisher. So like I would watch like those two people did a lot. Like they did interviews and they did documentaries. Stephen Fry has a really great documentary about it. And
were you mad at your mom for, you know, kind of secondhand, like diagnosing you, but not actually getting
it? Yes, absolutely. Just like never helping. Mm-hmm. And that's just like a common theme. But it also, she's just she can't handle complexity. Like she is just, if you're not happy, she doesn't know what to do with you. I remember one time, like I wasn't feeling well. And I was just kind of like down in the dumps. And then she was like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, oh, I don't feel very good. And she like was dismissing me, and I had been drinking the night before, and I was also hungover because, you know, hangover and depression are very coexisting. Great combo. And my mom, and I was like, yeah, and I'm really hungover. And my mom was like, oh, poor thing. Like, that was something she could wrap her head around, was being hungover. So it's just very cut and dry. Like, if she doesn't understand the emotion, or if she doesn't know why you're feeling a certain way, you're just crazy. Like,
and did that have to do with the recent text also?
Yeah. 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 Because then, happened? Oh, so we just got into a fight over healthcare because she didn't even know the bill was like being voted on. And I had called her and I was like, hey, do you know what's going on? And she lives in Alabama. So I was like, can you call your representative and can you call your senators and tell them, you know, it's important to me that mental health will be covered. Like, just telling her, like, this is important to me. Can you call? And she pretended like she does all this stuff for mental health issues. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do fucking shit. And it pisses me off. Like, she's like, I put a sign in my yard during Suicide Awareness Month. Like, okay. Like, you live on a county road. Who's fucking seeing this? Like, yeah.
And then you voted for Trump.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And it just really, really, really pisses me off, like, the disconnect.
And what do you do in response to that text?
I just, like, lost it on her. Like, I just went at her, just basically, like, saying all this. Like, this was before that text. By the time that text came, I had sent a text. You know those moments
paragraph
when
text?
You're sending a paragraph text, they yeah. send a short text, but you just sent your paragraph text. Oh. So it comes after she sends me that like long, her short text, and then I like send this long paragraph. But I just said to her, I was like, I still love you. You're just not, you're not a simple person. Everything's very complex. And
was that good? Was that a good answer?
I think it's a great answer because that's the truth. Like, mm-hmm. I do love her. She's just a very complex person who has a lot of baggage that I'm never going to understand. She caused baggage in me, but I'm doing well. Like, I'm able to.
I fucking teeter on that line, you know? Like, yeah. I'm doing well. I don't need a mommy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why were you? I had a tumor.
Absolutely. And especially when you have, like, a tumor. Yeah. And, you know, like, when you're in a very vulnerable place. I will say my mom is very good at those moments. She's a very good grand gesture mom.
Well, she would have been good, but I didn't feel comfortable calling her. Like, she is really, if it was like she had to change my diaper every day as an adult, she would, like, I would feel comfortable with mm-hmm. her. Like, she's really good at that. But I you can't call her
right.
when she's like, I'm not coming to your wedding. And then it's like, well, can you come over to me in my husband's house and, like, you know, help me out? No, yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah.
And then I get like, Andrea has like the most glorious mom. And every once in a while, I'm like,
it's possible, but not for me.
No, yeah. It's so upsetting. Oh my God.
I have friends who have bad moms. And I'm like, you can borrow my mom. I'll put her out on retainer.
That's what Hennessy said to me. He's like, you know, my husband was like, just, you know, you can have my parents. And as nice as that is, I'm like, you know, it's not the same.
Yeah,
like, it's
right.
still so much love. But now it just is. It just is the same, and I do call them, and like, you just have to decide that, like, you're asking something of your mom that she can't give you, so stop.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's why I'm kicking myself for sending that email, but more about that tomorrow.
I need to know.
Yeah. but you didn't always get along with your mom, did you?
I mean, me and my mom have had, like, we've always been very, very close, and my dad is a very tough person to deal with. And after my parents got divorced, there was an infidelity. It was this big fucking drama. Or drama, if you're in Canada.
And why do we laugh at? Don't you feel like an asshole?
I didn't know that was a Canadian thing until now.
That's drama, why. Pasta. I love to throw you guys some good Canadian bits every once in a while.
I can't believe I'm cracking up.
I know. It's so easy, baby.
Plus, I always say I say it like that. Like, ironically, a lot. Like, uh-huh. Drama.
That's legitimately how we say it.
I thought that was not even a thing.
Oh, okay. It's a thing, baby. Bunch of hoosers going to Canada and getting drunky. Anyway, so, I know. It's too good.
I want to stop laughing.
I laugh at your Israeliness, and you get to laugh at my Canadianism.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
But I'm the only real American here.
I know, right? You're surrounded by immigrants.
Oh my God, let's talk in our accents from now on. Right? It'll be a great show.
Hey, buddy.
It'll be a good way to, for the listeners to tell us all apart.
Right? That's right.
All these female voices, gross.
At least there's American one in there.
That's true. We're both foreigners. Okay, mm-hmm. Anyway. Hey, welcome to the Foreigner
yeah,
Show.
Yeah, right. The foreign women.
Yes.
Dare.
We booked somebody from Alabama just to legitimize the show. America, sure. USA number one.
I always think about this particular office is like Trump's nightmare because you have a Canadian immigrant.
That makes me so happy.
Who replaced an American. So that's a foreigner taking American jobs. There's two women, which blah. One of
three,
them.
Sometimes when Libby comes in.
I know. One of them is an LGBT relationship. Oh, double shit. Barf.
Oh, no.
You know? Yeah.
I love this list that we're
I know this like, you know, and we have a talk show where we talk shit about the government.
Right.
Done and done.
Yeah.
Trump's
but that's
nightmare.
That's why it's called Keith and the Girl as like a decoy, because Keith is like this tall, super white guy from like some rural part of like for real America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has his head shaved and there's flags everywhere.
Yes, right? There are.
We're a sleeper cell. The immigrants will.
Yes.
I didn't even notice there are a lot of flags in here.
Yes, but what's fun about it is that Jesus is carrying one. The Wishmaster lead character is carrying
one. That's great. Yeah.
They're very important characters carrying very important flags.
It's all very important.
Yes.
America.
America.
So I'm returning to Canada. My parents have been divorced for 6 months and I have no idea. And they hadn't told me. They're actually in the process of getting divorced when I was in college. I went home. My dad was sleeping on the couch. Didn't even notice.
I can understand. My parents used to like fall asleep watching TV all the time. So it's like, whatever.
Yeah. And I'm not like they're divorced and they're hiding it from me.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's not the mind that you're going into. No.
Plus, yeah. Because like, right now, my husband and I, baby butt and I are sleeping in our backyard in a tent. We've been doing it for like 2 weeks.
But it's so nice out.
Right.
So yeah.
Like, we were supposed to go camping 2 weeks ago and we didn't. And we're like, well, we're going to pitch the tent anyway. And then we can't bring ourselves to break it down because it's so glorious.
Yeah.
I'm going to post a picture of that too. Anyway.
Because you have a healthy marriage.
Well, yeah.
And
it's intense.
Sure.
I just got that. Okay. Wow. I had a margarita earlier, to be fair.
A margarita and bipolar disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's mix them together and see what happens.
See what happens.
So I'm coming home from like a semester in college. My mom picks me up at the airport and I'm like, hey, like, where's dad? And she's so into, like, I look back on this time and like, she's barely keeping it together as I would be too. Like, my partner's been cheating on me with multiple women so many years, hiding money, all this crazy ass shit. Like, her world is being shattered. So she's kind of like barely holding it together. And she's just like, My dad and you, blah, 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 we're divorced. And I was like, excuse me? And she's like, yeah, he's been cheating on me, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's just almost saying it, like, in passing. And I'm like, what?
That's crazy. Because you know what happened there is, like, she already got used to that this
sure.
is her life. And
yeah.
she's like, oh, and by the way.
But, yeah.
Or she's, like, been running it over in her head how she was going to
sure.
say it. So she's just like, blah, 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 blah.
Like, just and, yeah. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, I think I, like, screamed, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I just, like, started crying. Because it was just such a I'm in the airport. We're in a parking lot right
she
now.
She didn't. Wait.
No, she didn't Whoa. Wait. She did it in a parking lot.
She could have at least bought you ice cream.
I know, right? Get soften the blow, asshole.
Take you to the zoo.
Sure. Put me in a safe space and then blow up my whole world.
Yeah, but people, when you put someone in a safe space and then blow it up, make sure that safe space is something that they don't want blown up. Because if you take me to Haagen-Dazs, okay, first of all.
Yeah, you don't want that memory of
sure,
Haagen-Dazs.
Maybe she's
yeah.
like, airport parking lot is fine.
You know what?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's part of the decision, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no Haagen-Dazs ice cream parlors here. So when there is one, I usually like go and have an ice cream and I hope that I want, because that experience of like getting it on a cone and it's my legitimately favorite ice cream and blah, blah, blah. But if baby butt took me to a Haagen-Dazs, bought me a cone of vanilla Swiss almond and then said, I'm cheating on you. Vanilla Swiss almond would mean something totally different
from
mom.
Absolutely.
So maybe your mom was right.
I mean, she's pretty fucking smart.
Right?
Yeah, I think she just...
So now airports are a piece of shit, but they always were.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
You know what? So smart. Mm-hmm. Best mom ever. So then we go back, and actually my parents didn't... They wanted to break it to us together. originally, and then she found out, like, from what I know of it,
meaning you and my brother.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. wanted to do like a sit down, and what I understand, and I don't know the whole story because it's like my parents' divorce. I wasn't there. It's their marriage, right. Whatever. But I only know really her side, which I think is the more truthful side, to be honest. But is that then she's one of her friends was like, a man your husband's age doesn't just get divorced if they don't have something else going on. And so my mom was like, okay, I'm gonna hire a private detective and like see if there's something else going on. She finds out there's something else going on. I think she confronts him, whatever.
Whoa, and that's so interesting.
Yeah.
That her friend would say that. Yeah. I don't know that I would think of that, but
How old were they?
In their 60s.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sure. At that point, you're like, well, we're here.
Yeah. What are you, especially as a man, like he's being used to being taken care of his whole life, yeah. kind of. Like, what are you going to be a bachelor now? Like,
yeah.
It was very
astute. So he was breaking up with your mom.
Yes.
Oh.
And I don't think that their marriage had been good. Like, again, I can't speak to it. I wasn't
right,
there.
Right.
Also, they were together for a long time. They went through serious like medical trauma together. Like, I'm not immature to believe that that can't fuck some shit up.
Totally.
But it was, I think that my mom at that point was like, all right, you're going to be a piece of shit. Guess what? I'm going to tell your kids and you're not going to be there. And then they're going to be really fucking pissed at you as they should be. And so she tells me the
interesting.
Whole.
Interesting. I love that because if she didn't tell you guys, then she's always kind of like keeping this big secret.
Sure, and for him.
Yeah. And you will kind of get on your dad's side, like, Mom, why are you so pissed? He wanted to divorce you.
Right.
Like, yeah. People get divorced.
Yeah, why are you being so nasty? What's Whoa. All the undercurrents?
Right.
And, like, I probably have been privy. Well, what happened was after she told me, we're sitting in this weird, like, we had this weird condo that we lived in that was, like, very Wall Street. Everything's cement and, like, there's modern art everywhere. It's very odd. I don't feel at home there at all. Like, we never did.
Oh, she had to tell you at the airport because you weren't going back to your house.
Well, we went back to my house. So my dad's kicked out of the house. But so then we go back to this condo. It's like basically empty. And we're sitting there.
You
like,
and your mom or your dad?
Okay. My mom. Like, we're sitting across from one another. And I think it was just the first like time that it was like, all right, you're an adult. I'm an adult. We're going to start talking like fucking adults.
Because
like, this is serious. And I was like, I can't remember how it came up, but she was like explaining to me everything that's happening and like what she needs to do next. And then I'm like, well, now that we're like all out here being truthful, like I had an abortion 6 months ago. And she was like, all right, well, I mean, I was like, I didn't want to tell you because we were worried about my brother. And she was like, that sucks. And we just like,
I love how Andrea's like, oh, you're getting a divorce. I killed babies.
I killed so many babies.
But this is funny because later.
Yes. Well, later. So after this, I think after this whole meet, I just remember it so clearly because we were sitting across from one another and it was just like, all right, let's say the shit.
That's so fun. Don't yeah. you wish?
Oh, I know.
It's great though because she treats me.
My sister and I sometimes, like we sometimes get in a, like we're both a little kooky and sometimes we really will have bad moments, mm-hmm. but then every now and then we'll have those times where we like really like click and divulge everything, and it's so nice.
It's a real relationship.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I wish it was like this all the time.
It's a friendship, and she still mothers me, and like, you know, she'll not coerce me, but she'll give me her opinion on decisions, and she's been through a lot. She's very smart.
Aww.
You know, she's wonderful in that way, but she does like treat me as if we're on each other's levels now. Cause like after that, you are. I'm on your level. Like it can't be undone.
Yeah.
But then like 6 months later, I was still drinking and I got a ticket for public urination and almost got thrown in jail.
And kicked out of the country.
Sure. Oh yeah. I have a visa. Wow. So like it's like
I know that you've told us on the I just do the short version of this?
Yes.
Because this is out in Keith and the Girl world.
Uh-huh.
Just listen to all of Andrea's episodes. Mm. And she also has a podcast of her own. But anyway, she's at a club. She needs to pee. There's nowhere to pee. She goes out in the alley. Oh, she's mid-pee. Whoop, whoop. And she's mid-pee. She starts running while she's peeing. And
yes.
Oh, my God.
Dress on.
And oh, yeah. In a dress and heels, I imagine.
Cowboy boots this time.
Okay.
Okay. That's a little bit better to run.
But there was snow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then one of the cops like runs. Tackles her into what, the hood of the car or the snow?
Yeah, they into the snow first.
Is this in New York?
Jumped. Yeah.
What?
It was in Brooklyn.
What?
I'm a bad bitch.
I've peed in Brooklyn before.
You have to. Yes. What else was I going to do? And so he tackles me because I ran because I'm freaking out with this whole immigration reel running in my head. Like, sure. Oh, yeah, you're going to get arrested for peeing and you would get sent home. Like, this is crazy. You have to not have this happen. So I ran out of that fear. But they thought that I was smuggling drugs because it's a and rave.
Now she's just urine soaked.
Yeah, I'm pissing all of myself. I'm running in cowboy boots. The male police officer tackled me. There was a woman there, but the man like made sure.
They probably thought you were pissing yourself because you were scared you were going to get caught with drugs.
Sure, yes.
Maybe they thought your undies and not pants, whatever were down because you're trying to shove it up there.
Yeah, up my vagina. Yes, and I stole this weird pine cone from the rave that was spray painted gold that I thought was really cool. And they were like,
are you holding that while you're peeing?
Yeah.
And while you're running?
Yes. And they thought that it was like filled with drugs. So they're hitting it against the cop car. And then I'm obviously crying immediately. I'm like, I'm in Canada. And it's like,
I love what a pussy we turn into.
Oh, immediately. They're cops. I don't give a shit. I will play the stupid white girl card all fucking day if it's going to get me out of going to prison.
For peeing.
And then the female police officer started to understand. She's like, this girl's an idiot. Like, she's not a drug addict. She's an idiot. So I like,
yes, I'm an idiot.
I'm stupid.
I'm stupid. I drank Absinthe.
Do you want me to send you my SAT score?
Yes. I completely went into full blown, like, I'm a good person. Which is what you should do.
That's what I do when I see a fight. No.
Please.
Oh, the humanity.
Yeah. And so I didn't have any priors. And so they were like, listen, we could take you in for resisting arrest. They could have given me resisting arrest.
Oh, that's so true.
Which is fucking crazy. That is like a felony.
Yeah.
But they were like, this is your first time. We're going to be lenient. Thank God. But they gave me a summons. And so I'm like, I'm so embarrassed. And I have to, I'm like mustering up the strength to call my mom the next day because how do you tell your parent that
has paid to tell them
for your college that there's a possibility that you might have a criminal record now because you pissed in an alley when you were drunk? Like, what a fucking failure.
Yeah.
And so I'm like building up this courage and I call her and I'm like, listen, I don't want you to freak out. Like, I'm preparing her for
meanwhile, this. 6 months ago, they were like,
yeah, exactly. Right.
What could this be?
I know, exactly, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like just so ashamed and I tell her and she goes like, oh, thank God. And I'm like, what? And she's like, oh, I thought you were pregnant again. And I'm like, oh, great. This is where we are.
Not yet, Mom.
Not yet, but I'll give it a few more years.
I'll get there.
So
comics are great. They're good with condoms. And yeah. I plan on exploring that world. My name is Andrea.
Oh, God.
And my name is Hemda, let's be honest.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, sure. Definitely.
Yeah, so it was,
Yeah, I need to go to like a group. My name is Hemda and I like to abort comedians' babies.
Oh, my God. Please. All of the favors I've done to the world by not having these fucking comedians' babies. Jesus.
And that's our mommy report.
Right? I was a mother almost twice.
By the way, I felt so guilty about the abortion for a long time. My two abortions for such a long time. One wasn't my fault, one was. But but if you think about it, I felt bad because even though I knew that like nice people were telling me like, hey, you're not doing something wrong. Like the biology of this is not a kill, you know? But I was like, I was on the fence. Like I'm probably just accepting their side of the story because I'm going to do this.
Sure.
But what's funny is I think that I was 50-50 on I might be killing this baby like for real killing. I still did it.
Yeah.
I just want you guys to think about that the next time you want to mess with me.
Yeah. New Hemda. Baby killer. I don't need a mom because I can kill babies.
Well, if you think about it, you know, there's such a stigma that you can't help but think you're doing something bad.
Totally.
And let me tell you guys something. And for those who can't have babies, trust that some of the nicest people in the world are thinking that they're killing their babies and still doing it. Trust me that your fucking body would abort that baby if you could. Like if those bodies can get pregnant, like if penis bodies can get pregnant, you don't think that you would kill that chick? You kill each other. You fight over nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You throw radios at each other.
You throw radios at each other. You don't even respond to no.
What? I'm a woman.
Oh, you're in mixed company.
That's hilarious.
I mean, there are some animals in
nature. I should have been like, world star, no.
They probably would have hammed it up more to like get good views.
Yeah, so I think because I do want to have kids, and I think a lot of it's because I want to be the mom I didn't get to have.
A lot of people feel that way. Who don't have good moms.
Yeah, I really feel that way because I'm like, oh yeah, that I'd be a great mom.
You know what? I felt that way for the longest time, but I'm like, baby steps. I'm already like doing a thing that 50% ends in like tragedy, which is I got married. Now, like, you know how many women said that I'm going to be a better mom than my mom, and how many dads were like, I'm going to be there for my kid, and like, we're still failing people. So I think we're fine.
Right. Yeah. Right. Although I do 100% know I would be a good mom. Versus my mom.
I mean, her track record is
I think it's pretty easy. It's just like you raise them and then you treat them like adult. You take on a more mentor relationship.
Yeah, that is what it is. She's still mommy's me, but she's honest with
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's basically like, are you raising somebody to be like you, or are you raising that person to be themselves?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that is, to me, that's a constant question that I'll have to ask. And I already am tired just doing my own life. So I don't want to do anybody else's life.
Totally.
So I'm going to keep killing babies. Thank you for listening, everybody. Yes.
And then that laugh right afterwards.
That's so funny.
Maria Wojciechowski.
Yes, ma'am.
Wojciechowski.
Whoa.
Now I see
good old Alabama name.
You did not put your last name in your Twitter, Instagram, or anything really, right?
No, it's Wojo, which is the common nickname of it.
Okay. Oh, that is a common nickname?
Yeah. It's a very common Polish last name. So in like Chicago, for example, or certain parts of Brooklyn, it's a pretty common name.
Wojo. All right. Mm-hmm. You hear that? Shout out to all the Wojos.
Yes, all the Wojos out there.
So it's at Ria Wojo. What's Ria? Oh, Maria.
Half of my first name.
I got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. At Ria Wojo. Instagram is the same. Ria Wojo. Wojo. And you also have this Tumblr that's ilooklikelauradern.tumblr.com.
Yes.
Now, dead on.
Now, Andrea, I don't know famous people.
No, right.
Which I think, you know, hey, that means that famous people get a break from being famous around me.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I think I'm doing a nice thing, right?
Definitely.
But Andrea, you know.
Oh, yeah. When I looked at this website, I was like, damn. You have side by sides with this actress, and it's like, and you're doing all these funny poses to match her. It's so funny.
I don't have blonde hair anymore, so I haven't done it in a long time, but.
But you should
try it.
Check it out because it is very funny.
We were mentioning it before the show, and you said that like her assistant came.
Yeah, so my friend works at a deli in LA, and her nanny came in with her daughter, and she Laura Dern's nanny, and she bought a sandwich on Laura Dern's credit card, and my friend like saw the name, and he was like, Laura Dern, how do I know this name? And she's like, oh, I'm like, that's my boss. She's an actress. And he was like, oh my God, I know. And so I'm sure the nanny was expecting him to be like, she's in Jurassic Park or whatever.
I love her.
And instead he pulls out his phone and opens up my Tumblr. And he's like, this is how I know her. And she's just like, so she was like loving it. Like the nanny was cracking up. And then the kid looked like mortified, he said. And I mean,
how old was the kid? I didn't even think about it.
She's like 11 or something.
Oh, so she knows.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Laura Dern has to know about this at some point.
Just going to say at that point, then she knows.
She probably thinks I'm like a psycho, though. I don't blame
She's
her.
She's got like a radar out for you. Yeah. Like if I see this woman.
I agree. But I would think that you were a psycho until I looked at your website. And then I would go, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if I would think I was a psycho. And then if I like researched me more, I'd be like, oh, she's a comedian. She just is like weird.
But if I was the 11-year-old, I would forever think you were a psycho. But that's my job.
Sure, that's my mom, and then there's that crazy lady that has a website of pictures of her next to my mom. Okay, that's a little much, but
yeah, plus probably
very strange. Yeah.
Yeah, but probably a lot of people when, you know, the kid walks around with their mom, like respond weird to them. So this is just like another thing.
Oh, well, this is sorry if we're leaving, but this real quick. So it's even weirder.
No, we're done. Yeah.
Okay,
shut up.
But it's really so my friend Langston Kerman, I don't know if you guys know him, but he's a comic. He's on the HBO show Insecure, but he looks a lot like Ben Harper. They have like similar backgrounds. They're like both black and Jewish. So
all black Jews look alike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they do look a lot alike. And I think a lot of it is their similar genetics there. But I asked him, I was like, hey, you kind of look like Ben Harper. Can you come do this with me? And he's like, sure. So we took pictures because they're married. They were. They're divorced now, and that's their parents.
Whoa.
So also on this Tumblr are pictures of me and Langston as Laura Dern and Ben Harper.
Whoa.
So that's even grosser.
Yeah.
Like, to a kid, like, oh, my divorced parents, and here's these two comedians who look like them and are like taking pictures as them. So
that's amazing.
Whoa.
Okay, that's awesome. To look further down to see those pictures. Yeah. You guys have to check this out.
I would say that we'll post that on our website, but I think we should send everybody. I look like Laura Dern. Tumblr.com. Also, don't forget at Rio Wojo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, Andrea, thank you so much for co-hosting with
thank
me
you,
today.
Thank you for having me.
At Andrea Comedy on Twitter. And she's, oh my God,
a maniac.
Go to Instagram. Mm-hmm. Start with Andrea's. Continue to the hot mess Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then end on your... What's the ass and food one?
Hot ass cold cuts.
Hot ass cold cuts.
Or maybe it's hot butt. Let me check. But I think it is hot ass. I should have thought of hot butt, which is crazy. But it is my ass. And then photoshopped in there are snack foods. Like there's donuts, there's Doritos.
And while you're looking up the name, I just want to plug your other stuff. The Hot Mess Comedy Hour, which has recently been featured on Laughable, and you can get the Laughable app, which is really good.
Wow.
Follow all of us on Laughable, because you don't have to have a podcast to be followed on Laughable. They can follow you and just see what guests you're gonna how you're gonna guest on other podcasts. So follow Hot Mess Comedy Hour, follow Keith and the Girl, follow us individually. Maria Wojciechowski. Now I just want to say your name all day long. Wojciechowski.
Whoa.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We hope that Keith feels better really soon, but this was a lot of fun. Talk to you tomorrow.
KeithandTheGirl.com